I was doing like 40, 50 downloads an episode. Sometimes it would spike up to like 100 episode or 100 downloads an episode. I think we had one episode. It was Steve Weatherford. We had him pretty early on, Super Bowl champion. It went up to like 400 and then it went right back down to 40. And I remember sitting there one day and going, why am I even doing this? Like, this clearly isn't getting any traction. Sure, I'm making some cool connections, but that's not leading anywhere either. Like, what am I really doing? And right around that time that I was thinking that, I got a message on Facebook from somebody from Japan. And they said, because of your show, I decided not to take my life. And I realized in that moment that I was going to always consistently show up as my best self because I can impact that one life, right? So
you're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here with Justin Shank. Justin, you're on fire, man. How are you, brother?
Ben, I'm doing well, dude. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you. And I'm excited to dive in. I don't know where we're going with this, so hold on, folks. But I'm excited to dive in and have a conversation with you.
You know what's funny, Justin? I don't know where we're going with it yet either. So we will see where it takes us. You are the host of the Inc. Magazine top-rated podcast, The Growth Now Movement. Host of the world-renowned event, Growth Now Movement Live, which I happen to attend this May. Kick ass. We can get into that. You've had some big guys on the show like Ed Milet, Dean Graziosi, Bert Kreshner. But, you know, your bio online says it wasn't really always like that. You're basically bad student, least likely to succeed, came from some rough times in your upbringing. Let's start there, man, because I see myself as an underdog as well. And I think you have an incredible underdog story. So if you don't mind, let's go back as far as we need to and take your precious time, my friend. Tell us a little bit about the story behind the story that kind of led you to the success.
Yeah, man, that's a great, obviously, place to start. And you said it, right? Like, least likely to succeed. So one thing I say all the time is if there was a senior superlative for least likely to succeed, they would have handed it to me without a doubt. Like, they literally would have been like, yep, Justin, and nobody would have been surprised, right? I found myself with a 1.7 GPA in high school. My mom was in the middle of a 20-year opioid addiction, and my dad was in jail at the time. And so all signs pointed to you've got no shot. As a matter of fact, society says that if your parents are an addict, you have a 50% chance of being an addict. Society says that if your parents are in jail, you have a 50% chance of being in jail. You do the math, like I'm 100% screwed. Like I've got no shot, right? And I can laugh about it now because I've been able to do the work to overcome those limiting beliefs. But it honestly all started when I was 19 years old. I got a job in direct sales because obviously with a 1.7 GPA at one point in high school, you're not going to get into college. So I got into direct sales. And the greatest gift that I learned there was self-development. It was this idea that I could learn from books and learn from other mentors and learn the way that I'm good at learning. And so my mentor within this company handed me a book called Who Moved My Cheese, which hit me at the perfect time, right? And that book essentially is about like the things around you are constantly changing. It's all about how you react to that change, right? Like, it's not actually about what's happening around you. And that's what sent me on a lifelong journey of self-discovery and self-development. And, you know, really ended up leading long, you know, fast forward. I started a podcast when I was 30 years old that I've now been doing for 6+ years and all these other things. But the reality was, it was that one moment that kind of set me on a path of trying to figure out what this life is all about and why am I here? And, you know, obviously entrepreneurship has been something that I was striving for a very long time. Like, I had 3 failed businesses in the course of, you know, X amount of years, and then ended up launching a podcast, which then led to business, which I had no idea that was going to happen. And we can get into that if you want. But it was really a whirlwind of consistent learning. And then finally I pulled the trigger and I started taking action. And that's when everything changed.
You said it was Who Moved My Cheese?
Yes. So it's a super fast read, which is probably the only reason I read it. Like, if he handed me Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I'd be like, I'm not reading that. That's too many words. And it's a super basic book. And it's a story of like 2 mice and 2 little men who live in a maze and how everything changes around them. And essentially it's like, how are you reacting to the change around you? Which was perfect for me because as a kid, I had no control over the choices my parents made. Now, I should always put an asterisk. My parents were great parents. They loved me. They supported me. They were fantastic, amazing human beings. But with that being said, they just made poor personal choices that in turn affected my life. And so, you know, when I look at that, I go, I can't control that. But the reality was, I can control how I react to that. I can say to myself, why is this happening for me instead of to me? I can then make the right choice and make sure I don't go down that path. And that was, again, a huge switch for me to realize that I had complete control over my life.
So you make that big switch. And first off, I commend you, man. Our stories are kind of similar. My father was an alcoholic, died of alcoholism. My mother had multiple sclerosis. So still the biggest hearted woman I've ever met, but her disease causes her to deteriorate. And self-help, personal development helped save my life. So I'm with you, man. So you read this book and you start this mindset shift of how you start perceiving things. Where does it come into play that Justin's going to start a podcast? Tell me about why you decided to start the show.
Yeah, man, it's a fun story in itself, right? So my original idea behind the podcast was, since I had 3 failed businesses, I was like, I clearly suck at this entrepreneur thing. Let me start a podcast and interview other entrepreneurs that were super successful and connect with them and learn from them. Because, you know, obviously find the master, follow the model, right? That was the original idea behind my show. And what ended up happening was 6 months before I launched it, my mom lost her battle to opioids and it ended up taking her life. And it was in that moment that kind of everything hit me of like, what am I even like reaching for? Why do I want this entrepreneurial success? Right. And I think I shared on the stage at my event about how I went on a 3-month bender where I was blackout drunk 6 nights a week. And I realized I was just numbing this pain. And my rock bottom moment was the day that I realized that's what I was doing. And I had to face my feelings of grief and all these other things to overcome that. And that's when I decided that shift in my life of these are going to be conversations about getting out of your rock bottom moment. It's going to be conversations about finding fulfillment and loving yourself through the bad times and all these other things. Right. And I think because I was so authentic and real in those conversations, that's why the show has blown up over time. That's just my opinion. I don't really know because my growth was happening in the podcast before I was a good podcast host. But it's funny to kind of look at that, right? Like, I think sometimes when we have a great goal in mind, and we say, hey, this is why I'm going to do it, we don't always get the results until we tie it to a purpose or something deeper than just money. Because honestly, I wanted to be an entrepreneur because I saw these rich entrepreneurs and I was trying to prove people wrong, right? The people who said, hey, because you don't have a college degree, you won't be successful. You know, the people who said, because how you were raised, you weren't going to, you know, make anything of yourself and that's okay. Like, I heard it all. And I think I had this big chip on my shoulder. But when I shifted into vulnerability and coming from a place of love and understanding, that's when everything shifted for me in the podcast space. Now, over the last 6.5 years, you know, the podcast space has completely shifted. And I believe in utilizing this tool to do great things. But I think your heart needs to be in it. And I think that's a great approach to life, right? Any of your relationships, your heart has to be in it. You know, anything you do for business, your heart should be in it. Otherwise, you're just not going to be fulfilled through that journey.
Yeah. So your heart has to be into it. You've got purpose, passion behind it. I know, honestly, man, I have more than three listeners, but even if the listeners are just me, Justin, and your girlfriend, you're a family member, a client, dude, if we can make that one extra person smile, it was totally worth my time. Now, we have plenty more listeners today, but a lot of people in podcasting, and let's have a larger umbrella here, but podcasting and YouTube and blogging, they're getting started, but they don't have an audience at all yet. And I know you just said it, if your heart's into it, you're going to enjoy it anyways, and you should stick to it. But any tips on those people that are starting a new project and just literally aren't getting any momentum? Was that what it was like when you started, or what's your experience with that?
Yeah, dude. So, you know, first, I always like to say this statistic because people don't realize this. 80% of podcasts do less than 100 downloads per episode. I didn't know this when I started out podcasting. I don't even know if that statistic existed. Like, I don't even know if people looked at podcasting that way back then. But I look at that and I was sitting there in the beginning and I was like 40 something episodes in. So keep in mind, this is almost a year into the podcast of consistently showing up every single week. I was doing like 40, 50 downloads an episode. Sometimes it would spike up to like 100 episode or 100 downloads an episode. I think we had one episode. It was Steve Weatherford. We had him pretty early on, Super Bowl champion. It went up to like 400 and then it went right back down to 40. And I remember sitting there one day and going, why am I even doing this? Like, this clearly isn't getting any traction. Sure, I'm making some cool connections, but that's not leading anywhere either. Like, what am I really doing? And right around that time that I was thinking that, I got a message on Facebook from somebody from Japan. And they said, because of your show, I decided not to take my life. And I realized in that moment that I was going to always consistently show up as my best self because I can impact that one life, right? So for quite some time, the show was not taking off. You know, I actually used to have a co-host for the podcast. And when he was the co-host, it just wasn't working. I asked him to take a step back and I decided to face my fear of doing it alone. And I did it alone. And that's when we started to get some traction. And here's what I realized. And here's your podcasting tips that I'm sure people listening are looking for. My branding finally aligned with my messaging. So often in podcasting, you see this brand, somebody's name, which, by the way, if you, unless you're a celebrity, don't make it your name, right? Like, tell people what they're to expect. And when they get in, give them what they're expecting. And I think sometimes in life, we kind of go, okay, I'm going to do this show about marketing. Okay, great. To make sure that every single episode includes marketing tips. Otherwise, people aren't going to stick around. And what was happening with my co-host was it wasn't always in alignment. Like, I became about personal growth and he was all business, right? Or whatever. And so it just wasn't aligning. And so when that finally aligned, I started to get traction and the audience started to show up and all these things. And then Inc. magazine came knocking and said, hey, you know, we'd love to feature you in an article as a top 8 podcast. And, you know, when that article dropped, which is 2 years into my podcast journey, I had this massive leap forward, like a massive leap. Now, I then took that and ran with it. And the audience that I brought in, they stayed because I believe the content that I was creating was very, very good. And then I started to utilize that to grow other parts of my business, whether it be the speaking or my audience growth or, you know, the podcast course that I have and all these other things. And it all started to fall into place. But here's the thing, man, I just told you I showed up every single week for 2 years straight. I think I took a month off on purpose when we were switching from me and my old co-host and then just me. Mm-hmm. But other than that, every single Tuesday, there was a new episode. And was it hard? Yeah. Like, there were times where I was so insanely busy. At this time, I was still working full time. So I was doing that plus producing these shows, plus trying to grow a business on the side, plus doing all these other things. But I showed up every single week consistently. And I think that speaks volumes to anybody in business, whether that's in podcasting, creating YouTube content, whatever. You don't know what's going to hit. And so I would say, you know, be authentic. Don't try and be somebody you're not. I have so many people come up to me and say, I want to be like Joe Rogan, or I want to be like whatever. Well, no, you should be like Ben Albert, because you're the only Ben Albert and the world needs you, right? So show up consistently and understand that even if it is 5, 10, 15, 20 downloads or views or whatever, you're actually impacting people on a massive level. And you should respect the idea that these people, 5, 10, 15, 20 or 20 million, they show up to give you their time. And that means something. That means you're speaking to somebody, and then continue to pour into them, right? Like, I think the greatest tip I had heard that I took and I ran with it was learn your audience, and then ask them what they want more of. Because, hey, these people are sticking around. If I give them what they want more of, they're going to continue to stick around. But not only that, they're going to go, wow, Justin, listen to me. I'm going to tell my friends about Justin. And then I'm going to tune in. And that's the greatest marketing tool, right? Word of mouth, right? You can do all the Facebook ads you want, but word of mouth is still the best way to grow your true fans and then be able to kind of, you know, help them the best way you can and end up growing a business around it.
Yeah, you're growing true friends. You're growing your tribe. They're actively part of your community. This is what you've been doing. And you know what? I forget exactly how they said it, but one of the most eye-opening things for me is if someone was basically telling me, if you had an audience of 25, 30, 50, maybe even 100 people in person, a speaker would be like, wow, this is great. I'm happy to be here. This is worth every single moment of my time. Is that not, now granted it's not in person, but is that not what you have with a podcast? Even when you have 40 listeners, you've got a community, a tribe of people that are listening front to back, taking notes, interacting in the comments, sharing. You are providing value to that speaker, even at a very small scale. And if you have that mindset and you can provide that value to your audience, it'll kind of scale naturally, right?
No, 100%. And actually I say that all the time. I go, look, if you had 100 people in a room every single week, would you show up? Hell yeah, you would show up and you would pour into those people with everything that you had. And the cool part about podcasting is that you have their attention for 45 minutes to 60 minutes every single time, or however long your episodes are. Like, here's the crazy statistic, right? The average Facebook video view is 8 seconds long.
Right.
With podcast, audiences are listening to 80%, if not more, of the show. So they have your attention. Like I always say, so I work with big influencers and entrepreneurs and people with millions of followers. And they launch their show and like they have like a couple thousand downloads an episode. Now, most people will be like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But they go, hold on, I could post an Instagram and it reaches 2 million people. Now I'm taking an hour plus to talk to these 2,000 people. I go, yeah, but these are your true fans. These are the people that'll hand over $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, and they're invested in you. These are the people telling other people about you. They're going to grow your brand. You want to keep showing up for them. And that's what I love about podcasting. It's the only long form medium out there, right? And people listening who are early on in your entrepreneurial game, like we think making $100,000 a year is like, oh my gosh, like that's crazy. Well, here's the thing, right? If you have 1,000 true fans that pay you $10 a month, that's $100,000 a year. You have 500 people that pay you $50 a month, that's $100,000 a year, and so on and so forth, right? So if you can get, you know, do the math, right? I think I did the math wrong on the last one, but you guys get what I'm saying, yes. Right? Like, so if you can literally pour into these individuals at a high level, they're going to want to invest in you. Now, yes, I'm talking a lot about money right now. For me, it's not all about money. I think it's important. I know that the more money I have, the more that I can give, right? When I live in abundance, I can pour more into people. But people want to give you money. Here's a crazy mindset concept, right? Like, people want to give you money. I can't tell you how long I was not serving my audience. And I would just keep giving them free stuff and free stuff and free stuff. And I would get messages from people and be like, how can I hire you? How can I pay you? How can I pay you for this? And I was like, no, that's not the point of this. This was never the point of this. But then when I started having people pay me, they showed up. They started to actually change and evolve and grow into the person they were meant to be. Because when we invest in ourselves, then all of a sudden change happens. And by the way, I'm the perfect example of this. I was absorbing all the free content in the world. And it wasn't until I invested in a coach, like my real hard-earned money, I started to actually take action, right? We have to invest in ourselves. So make your people invest in themselves. If your goal is to help them grow their business, grow their lifestyle, whatever, make sure they're investing in themselves. And that's when everything changes for them too. Now we have some momentum. Now we're making an impact. Now the world's changing. And so for me, I think that's kind of the concept we have to take into anything as we're growing up, as we're growing an audience, a business, or whatever. Like, it's all about, it's bigger than me. And the only way it gets bigger than me is if the people that have listened or hit play, who I'm super grateful for, that they also then take action, because that's when we change the world.
I love it. And you don't have to be Joe Rogan to do it, it sounds like. If I were to try to be Joe Rogan, but I don't have a mixed martial arts background and I've never been on reality TV, I'm going to fall on my face. So really just be yourself, provide value, and you can build a small tribe. I don't need to be Joe Rogan. I don't think I want to be Joe Rogan, but
you can build a big tribe, right?
Sure.
I mean, I would love the $200 million contract Joe Rogan signed, but yes. But at the same time, like, you don't need that, right? And so I think most people get into self-development because they're trying to run from themselves, when the reality is it's about finding yourself. You know, it's about discovering who you really are, but they're trying to run from who they think they are. And that's why so many people come to me and they're like, I want to be this person. I want to be this person. I want to be this person. I go, well, are you that person? Well, no. Okay. Well, then go become that person. And then you can then teach other people how to do it. You know, very, very often I have those conversations. And especially when people come to hire me for the podcasting side of things, and they say, like, I'm not kidding, like, oh, I want to be like Joe Rogan, or oh, well, they literally say this almost every single time I bring somebody in. And I'm just like, No, you don't. You can't be. So think about something else, right? And we kind of rework that whole system and find out who they are and what's their message and who's their audience and all those other things. But yeah, I mean, so true. I mean, what you said, man, like, you can grow your own tribe no matter who you are, no matter what you're talking about, no matter how niche it is. Your tribe is there and they're waiting for you to say something. So show up, because you're doing a disservice if you don't.
You're doing a disservice if you don't show up. I love it, Justin. We were talking about needs. So what does Justin need? Well, what are those core values? Because at the end of the day, I mean, you could get the Lamborghini. You're still the same exact person as before you had the Lamborghini. What do you truly value?
Yeah, man. I think relationships is number one for me. Strong relationships at the core. You know, I look at what I've been able to build over time. And, you know, obviously you were at my event, and you're also part of my community. People like Nick Santanastasso, who most people, you know, would have to pay him $50,000 to come speak. You know, he comes to my event and he speaks for free. And I look at that as, first of all, I'm very grateful that he did that. But at the same time, it's because I believe in relationships should be strong and come from a place of giving, because I gave to them first, and I gave and gave and gave and will continue to give. Actually, after Nick hopped off the call yesterday, him and I were texting, and I was like, dude, let me know if there's anything I can do to support you in the next phase, in the next step, in the next whatever. And I truly mean that. And so if we show up in that way, those relationships are super strong. I think the second one is consistent growth. Obviously, it's the brand, and that's a brand for a reason, because I realized that the Lamborghini might be cool. I think, by the way, I think this is gonna make some people mad. I think Lamborghinis are ugly. I would never want one. I could care less about driving fast. Like, that's just not my thing. And actually, I'm very truly a minimalist. And so, like, things don't do anything for me. And I also realize that you can have massive goals, and I think everybody should, financially, relationally, in their wellness, all these things. You should have massive goals. But most people tie their worth to achieving those goals versus finding their worth before they get to those goals. And so what we see is, you can set a goal to make $1 million, and I want you to go get $1 million. But the problem is, when you get there, immediately you're going to go, how do I make 10 million? Mm-hmm. Right? Because people look at their goals and achieving them as the cure for their symptoms, the cure for the fact that they don't love themselves, the cure for the fact that they can't find a relationship, the cure for the fact that they're overweight, all these things. And that's just not the reality. And the end game for everybody is all the same, right? We're on this earth and we're going to die. And so I think the second thing is consistent growth for me personally. And then the third thing is continuously making an impact, right? I want to always leave people better than when I found them. And I say that from a standpoint of vulnerability, because I wasn't always that person. And so I want to live in that true state of making sure every conversation or every contact or every relationship I have, they feel like they're better because of it. Whether it's because they laughed, by the way, I'm not talking about how I can shift everybody's life, right? Whether it's because they laughed, learned something, feel like they're a good friend, whatever the case may be, I just want to make sure that they leave a conversation with me or a connection with me feeling like they're a better person because I'm in their life than before I met them. I think those would probably be the three things I really focus on the most.
Yeah, you got to leave people better. I mean, that's legacy. Sometimes I don't want to come to terms with it, but in 100 years, no one's going to know who I am. It's very unlikely. And maybe this is a limiting belief and I end up doing something so big that people do remember Ben 100 years ago, but that's not probable. But if I can do what you just said and leave every person I meet a little bit better, they're going to pass that down to everyone they meet. They're going to pass that down to their children, their families, their value set, and then the entire world's a better place.
Yeah. Well, you want to talk, I mean, you're making this podcast, man. It's going to be out there forever unless Apple goes under. And I can't, I mean, I look at Apple, they're probably going to be our president one day. But with that being said, like this platform's not going anywhere. So people will find this forever. I'll go, who's this Ben guy, man? I wish I knew him. You know, like I think often about that. Like I've put out 400 plus episodes. I've shared embarrassing stories. I had the comedian Bert Kreischer on. We shared how we lost our virginity and like all these things. And I realized these things are out in the ether forever. And so 500 years from now, somebody might find these files and me sharing these stories and like, this guy was an idiot. What is he doing? But I imagine if Ben Franklin recorded audio in every conversation that he had and, you know, shared out on Instagram, the things that he did, by the way, if you don't know the story, I'm near Philadelphia. So if you don't know the story of Ben Franklin, he was a man about town. That's the best way to say it, right? Like we view him as this historical figure and all these things, but he was a man about town. If you don't know what that means, Google it. But if he shared all that stuff on social media, our view of him would be totally different. And so we need to be really intentional about every single thing that we do, because guess what? You're leaving a legacy now by recording this and putting it out in the world. I know people who, and by the way, that's even if one line of life listens to you. Like I know people with podcasts now, they go, I don't care if anybody listens. It's for my kids and my grandkids and my great grandkids. And I hope that they care enough to listen going forward. Right. And so that in itself is legacy, but the important part of that whole entire legacy building is showing up and sharing the wisdom that we've gained in this lifetime. Whether we're 14 years old, 30 years old, 100 years old, we all have some sort of wisdom that's a little bit different than somebody else. And so I think that sharing it is leaving a legacy, period. Even if it's sharing it with your kid or you said your girlfriend's kids or whatever, like it's really my girlfriend's kids, same thing, right? So like, it's really about sharing the best we can and hopefully shifting their perspective a bit, because you do that, then they tell the next, then they tell the next, then they tell the next. And I hope one day somebody goes, my great, great grandfather, Justin, was this podcaster. Apparently it was a big deal. That's what I hope for. And I strive for every single day.
Dude, it's a good thing to strive for. And it, you know, I didn't even think about that. So by the time, you know, 100 years from now, they've probably already cloned me and or I live to be 200 years old, either or.
Yeah, I jokingly say that I'm going to live forever. But I'll tell you what, if they ever come up with a way to do that, I'm the first in line. And people go, that's not sustainable. I'm like, let me dream. Stop pooping all over my dreams here. I would love to live forever just to see what happens with humanity, to be honest.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. We're going to go down the Joe Rogan rabbit hole with this thing. I don't have 3 hours with you.
I know, right?
Have you had Javon McCormick on the show yet?
No, I don't know that name.
I'll introduce you to him. You need to have him on. His book was one of the most powerful books I've ever read, and he didn't write it for anyone other than his kids. Now, granted, they ended up, he doesn't really pitch it or publicize it much, but it's out there. And he's partnered with Tucker Max. They run the largest self-publishing company in the world, and they're huge. Yeah,
Tucker's been on my show.
Okay. Yeah. And Tucker's another brilliant guy, but some of the best books I've read were never meant for Ben Albert to read. But you get into that humanity and you get into the reality, and then people want to cling on to your truth because of how just unapologetically authentic someone's being. Yeah. I love it. So we've went through kind of where things all picked up, the podcast. Nowadays, you're just kicking ass, taking names. And you're hosting live events, and I went to your most recent one in last May. It was kick butt. Give us maybe just like the 100,000 foot view of the vision behind the live event and a couple of speakers that maybe stood out to Justin himself.
Yeah, man. Well, obviously all the speakers, right? But I'll tell you kind of where the concept came from. Sure. I was, when I built the business that I built and I was able to live the lifestyle that I want, one thing I always reflected back to was I had the opportunity, because of my podcast and the platform I built, to connect with some of the greatest thought leaders in the world. And a lot of them have become friends. And even Ed Milet, right? The night before his book launch, him and I were texting. I was in a hotel in Philly about to fly out the next morning, and him and I were texting. I've been really fortunate, and I can't tell you how grateful I am for those relationships. But I was like, I'm just some dude. Like, you guys heard my backstory, right? Like, I'm just some dude. And so there's always a sense of humble, being humble. And I was like, well, how do I give this opportunity to other people? And I was like, I should do an event, which, by the way, is a huge undertaking. It's crazy. But I was like, I should do a live event. And my thought process, this was back in 2018. I was like, let me do it. And by May of 2019, we had our first live event. And it evolved over time. And then obviously we all know what happened in 2020, COVID. We did two virtual events and then finally back again live in person here back, you know, a couple of weeks ago from this conversation. And I was like, I don't want it to just be another boring conference. I want this to like be an experience. I want it to be like a rock concert, music and intro videos. Like grew up being a wrestling fan. I was like, okay, they need a Titantron video, right? and all these things. And so essentially what I said to myself, I was like, you know what? I'm going to create a day-long rock concert for entrepreneurs and thought leaders and people looking to level up in all areas of their life, which has now become the four pillars that I talk about, which is business, wellness, spirituality, and relationship. And you know, I was like, let me just create it. And so I've been able to have great speakers over the years. I've had Fabio Viviani from Top Chef, and I've had a couple of people from Real Housewives in New Jersey and other reality shows. And then this last year, we had Nick Santanastasso and four-time Emmy winner Chris Van Vliet, and all these incredible human beings who came and poured into the audience. But not only that, other than Nick, who had to run to get to Mexico, his flight left at 3 a.m. He's like, I got to go and go to sleep. They all hung out. And they all came to the after parties and they all posed in the step and repeat with everybody. And they all did these things. And they were just like everybody else, because that was the greatest thing for me to realize that these people that I looked up to were just like everybody else. And you can form those relationships and those bonds and then see where it goes. Right. And as long as it's mutually beneficial, most people go, yeah, I want this person in my life. By the way, that's not just business. That's also just friendship. Right. And that was the thought process behind it. And I've just been really, really grateful to be able to host these amazing individuals. But then also I realized that there's rock stars in the audience, man. A lot of people in my audience in a year or two end up on my stage. And I get to know them and I realize that they're world changers too. And so yeah, man, I think for me, it was about giving other people the opportunity that I had with the platform that I built. And hopefully we continue to do it. I haven't decided on a date or a venue or a location yet. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in 2023 if we have another Growth Now Summit Live. We'll see.
We'll see. Ooh, so we were talking about this before, and I'm the kind of person, honestly, and this might be a detriment. The moment that the event's done, I'm like, when are we booking a day for the new one? It's like on to the next one, which might not be good for our mental health. So you're not 100%. It's not announced yet. It's still a possibility.
Yeah. You know, now obviously the more removed I am from that experience and also the traumatic experience, the 3 years before the world shutting down, I'm getting more excited. Like I'll tell you this. So because every single person asked me, when's the next one? Like every single person that was there, like, when's the next one? People are commenting on the posts that are happening. Oh my gosh, I need to come to this. When's the next one? And I don't even know these people who are commenting this. And that gets me excited. Number one, that means I served at a level that people want to come back and be a part of it again. Number two, I already have the speaker lineup. What I mean by that is I curate the speakers on purpose. Like if you notice you were there, right? You notice the energy levels up and down and shift and move. And that's all done on purpose. And we don't have enough time to get into the schematics, but I'd love to talk to you one time about why I do that and where that came from. But it's all done on purpose. And so when I look at least the keynotes, I go, I already know who I'm asking if I'm to do it again. In 2019, I announced 2020. At the end, and I sold like 60 tickets right off the bat, 40 to 60 tickets, right. I was like, cool. That's fun. And then the world shut down and the event never happened. And I said, my idea behind this one was, instead of me announcing the next one, what can I create that no matter what happens in the world, I can continue to impact individuals and help them grow and make these connections and do all these things where there's opportunity. And that's where Growth Now Community came from, was the idea of like, even if the world shuts down again, we can still be together. We can still make an impact. We can still learn. We can still teach others. We can still do all these things. So that's where the community came from. And so like with you and I here, like that's my biggest focus for the next 3 to 6 months is to grow that. And then what comes from that will be things like events and stuff like that. But it's about my focus is here first. Like I'm very much a focus on one thing person, because otherwise it doesn't get done. ADD brain. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at now. But I would love to come together again, man. Like that was the most fun 3 days I've had in a really long time. And so I would love to do it again.
Dude, I'm happy I went, And guys, it was great for me. So I'm from Rochester, New York. A lot of my listeners are from this area, but so many of these events are in Texas or California or Florida or Vegas or New York City. I'm like, this is just like right up the road in Pennsylvania in the middle of nowhere. Like I could drive here. So for me, when I saw you and Brian Bogert, a good friend, was speaking at it, no hesitation, bought the ticket. And you guys delivered so much value that you touched on this before, and I'm on the other side of this. So you delivered so much value that I signed up for the community, no questions asked, because I wanted to support what you were doing. To be honest, brother, I'm in enough communities. I don't really have the time for it. But, you know, Nick Santanastasso?
Santanastasso. Yeah, you're close. Yeah.
So Nick personally delivered as much value as the ticket to the event and the ticket to the community. He personally delivered over $1,000 in value himself, just spending an hour or two with him. I'd be a jerk not to funnel some of that value back into you and everything you're doing. Do you have, like, can people come in and be a fly on the wall, or what should be the next step? Does someone just go ahead and join the community? Can they be a fly on the wall at an event? What should people do to learn a little bit more?
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, you know, if they want to get to know me more a little bit, they can go to the podcast, Growth Now Movement, wherever they're listening to this, they can find it. But if they want to join the community, here's the thing. Like, as I haven't fully decided, obviously it's a new concept. But we have weekly calls. The value is massive compared to what people are paying. Like, as you said, like it's going to be insane. Like the people are going to be like, I should have paid you $10,000 for this community. And that's exactly what I wanted. And like you said, it's good to hear you say, you know, Nick's already added $1,000 to the value. Cool. I only have to do that 9 more times and then we're good. But with that being said, you know, if they want to check out the community, the nice part is it's super easy to get in. If they go to growthnow.community, they can sign up. It's a whopping $47 a month. If they hate it, if they don't like the people in it, which I highly doubt, because the people in there are why a community works, they can leave, or they can pay for the whole year, $497 for the year, and join us every single week or whatever makes sense for them. But that's growthnow.community. And so if they want to join us, I would love it.
Cool. And I'll put that in the show notes as well. That'll be there. I'm making some graphics from Nick so they can see some of the just a piece for their niece, a little bit of information, but obviously to be there in the live calls with some of the top performers in the world, they're going to want to join the community and actually be there on the Zoom. Justin, I want to make sure we have time here for the rapid fire round. Short, sweet, either or fill in the blank questions. Just to get to know you a little bit better. It's like Family Feud mixed with Whose Line Is It Anyway?
We want to keep
it rapid, but the points don't matter. Completely subjective to whatever the heck we want to talk about. So
sweet.
We'll get started with beer or wine.
A beer.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Are you a morning person or a night owl?
As I'm getting older, neither. but I would say I'm a morning person unless I'm at an event and I somehow morph into an evening person.
Love it. Okay. Favorite time of year, favorite season?
Christmas, hands down. I'm a freaking Christmas nut. People think I'm super weird. I did a spiritual reading one time and the person was like, I kept seeing candy canes for some reason, but Christmas is my jam.
Dude, Christmas nut, Justin. That's something unique about you. I love it. Let's go into some longer form stuff because these are things I was curious about. We'll just squeeze them on in. Do you have a favorite question or questions to ask a guest to really elicit a response that'll provide value?
Yeah, man. So there's two questions that I ask every single person, and this has morphed over time. I used to do 5 rapid fire questions at the end, and that slowly kind of fell off. But there's two questions that I always ask, and they're my two favorite questions that have given me so much insight about, you know, how these people operate. The first question is, it's actually a 2-part question. What's your definition of success? And the follow-up is, what are 3 things you do every single day to ensure that success for yourself? And then the final question that I ask every single person on my show is, in your life, what has been your biggest moment of growth? And so do you mind if I riff on this for a second?
Please. I was actually going to tell you to pick one and answer it yourself. So we'll do that in a second.
So I'll say
let's riff for 3 to 5.
Yeah. So the biggest moment of growth question obviously came from a standpoint of like, when does growth happen in individuals' lives at a massive level? And what I realized is most people, not everybody, but a majority, I'd say 80 plus percent stated their biggest moment of growth was their rock bottom moment. And I realized that that's where greatness comes from, is when you can take action when you feel like there's no hope. You can take action when your back's up against the wall. You can take action when somebody looks at you and says, you've got no shot, kid. Right. And that's what I realized from that question. The other question about, you know, your definition of success in three things. The definition of success always varies a little bit, right? Like sometimes it's about family and sometimes it's about business and sometimes it's about making sure their employees are happy and all these things. But the three things there is consistency, not in the three things, actually, like the actual physical three things. But I realized that the three things I did every single day, all these top performers that I've had on my show, was it was all to take care of themselves, whether it was moving their body or meditation or learning something new or whatever. It was always to take care of themselves, and the realization of you can't pour from an empty cup, right? And so what that did for me was I instilled actually four things I do every single day without negotiation, which has begun to overflow my cup more than I could ever imagine. And I realized what's in my cup is for me and what overflows is for every single person. So if I don't do these things to take care of myself, then I can't give to others. And so that was a huge perspective shift for me because I'm naturally drawn to givers, because I'm a giver myself. I realized like they're giving because they have so much, and they have so much because they took care of themselves. And so what one thing I started saying was the most selfless thing we can do is to be selfish. And so those are the two questions that I ask every single person on the show. But the big takeaway was not the specifics of what they said, but the overall arching lessons that I learned from those two questions have been life-changing for me.
I'm going to have to click rewind and listen to that a few times, Justin. Love it, brother. We're going to close with one more question. First, I want you to get your perspective. Actually, this is going to get kind of meta. Tell me if you like this question or not, and then we'll answer it.
Okay.
So Billboard side of the road, you maybe heard this. I think I stole it from Tim Ferriss, but Billboard side of the road, everyone's going to see it. So all genders, all races, all ages, so darn big that people across the world are going to say it. And you can control the messaging on that billboard. What would you put on that billboard and why? Good question or too crazy?
No, I think it's a good question. I think it's a good question because of the way you framed it, right? I've certainly have been asked the question, like if you had a message for the world to hear, what would that message be? But the way you framed it with the billboard and then all genders and races and, you know, what sexual orientations, whatever, everybody sees it. What would that message be? I think that frames it differently. And that's what makes it a good question.
Cool.
Awesome. Should I answer it now?
I'll pat myself on the back for that one. Yeah. I want to know the answer as well.
Yeah. You know, it's a good question. And I think for me, that saying or that billboard would say, you are exactly where you're supposed to be, and you are exactly who you're supposed to be. And that's enough.
Drop the proverbial mic.
I love it.
Justin, tell us one more time. Give us your favorite social platform and also tell us a little bit about the website, how we can get in touch with the community, so on and so forth.
Yeah, man. Again, the social, my favorite social is Instagram. It's at Justin T. Shank. You can see how to spell the last name in the show notes. Good luck. So it's Justin T. Shank on Instagram and pretty much anywhere else. I don't ever tweet, so don't go there. But yeah, that's my favorite. And then if they want to join the community, it's growthnow.community. They can come hang out with us. They can hang out with you, so they can get to know you in there too, which is cool. But yeah, you know, I'm going to continue to deliver at a massive level. I told you, like, just wait until you see who else we have coming in as guest mentors and the information that I'm going to run through every single month as well. Like, I'm excited about it because I know I'm delivering on a massive level. And that's when I get excited about something, is when I know I'm over delivering. And I want people to be blown away. And so stay tuned.
Stay tuned. That info's in the show notes. You're blowing people away. And you just got started. I mean, we're recording this early June. You just launched in May. So this is fresh. What's the vision? What are you looking to deliver long-term with this community? Double down on that as we close here.
Yeah, man. I think you know, I would love to grow it so that way I know I'm making a bigger impact. But for me, here's the thing. I want about 200 members in there. We have 30 now. So I want about 200 members in there. And here's why, right? Because not all the content I'm going to create is for every single person. So I want to make sure that our calls are well attended, number one. So from a from an analytical standpoint, business-wise, that makes sense. And then the second thing is, I know that if I can impact 200 lives on a deep level, and I know they're investing some money, even if it's small, they're then going to take action on what they've learned. And then the ripple effect will then make an even bigger impact in the world. And so I want to see about 200 people in there. I want to continue to deliver on a massive level, whether they're coming in monthly or annually or whatever. And then I want to see them do big things as well. And that's the main thing, right? Like, can I create something so big that the people in there then go create something so big, right? It's never been about me. It's about everybody else. And so I'll continue to do that. So that's kind of my vision there. And we'll continue to kind of evolve as the group evolves, and things might change a little bit, but I love our formatting now. It's not too much, but it's also, you can pump the brakes if you need to, if it's all of a sudden it feels like a fire hose. So I think that is going to be the long-term vision of it is grow it enough that I know the impact's 4 billion times greater than what I'm doing.
Love the vision, love the impact, love the collective vision. I'm on your side, man, and I appreciate coming on the show, Justin. It's been fun.
Dude, Ben, thank you so much, man. You're a great host, by the way, and this is not me blowing smoke. I think you're really, really good at this, and everybody should be listening. And so when this comes out, I'm excited to share it. And then with that being said, man, I appreciate you being a part of the community on such a big level in what you do, man, because like you said, I know that your time is valuable. And so thank you so much.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.